Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge, protection with Allah. من الشيطان, away from Shaitan, الرجيم. The rejected, accursed, avowed, open enemy to mankind. نشهد أن محمد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness there is the one God, Allah alone, and no partner is there with Him, none is likened to Him. We say, La Sharika La. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abduhu wa Rasul, and we bear witness Muhammad is His slave, servant, and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear beloved listeners, friends, assalamu alaikum. We'll be right back. After our opening theme song, tell a friend to tune in. You don't want to miss this program today. It's going to be a good one, I do believe. We're going to be talking about defending Kyrie Irving. We'll be right back after our opening theme song. In our Quran reading today, it's going to be chapter 4, verse 135, I do believe. Chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4, verse 135. Forget that, ready to? We'll be right back.
People every day trying to do things their own way, but everything you see starts to tell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step or give advice, make sure you are told. Cause people hold you to your word. Make people and people that make the world go round. Make people check out the words that make your world. If your word is job, the job you are. Cause those kind of words, they don't go far. When thinking starts, words combined from my
thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. Looking forward to my guest today, Imam Nasser Ahmed from Miami, Florida. I'm sure he'll be signing on soon. And when he comes, we will bring him on to join us. Again, our topic today is going to be in defense of Kyrie Irving. That's going to be our topic today. But we always begin our show, as we know it's called Words Made People, and we say praise be to God. We are into our 10th year, praise be to God, alhamdulillah, we say in the Arabic, the perfect praise belong to God. And we are grateful and thankful for that. And for our listening audience, those who have supported us over this past decade. So the show is titled Words Make People, of course, a concept given to us by our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we're trying to make that idea come alive in our lives. Not just words from a wonderful, blessed teacher, but that we make the words that he gave us come alive by incorporating them into whatever means and places and methods that we can so that other people can benefit from his wisdom. Praise be to Allah. So words made people, and the best words for making people are the words of the Quran. Well, we can say in general, which is true, words of scripture, revelation, words from the Bible, from the Torah, and other religious scripts have made people. But, of course, we as Muslims, we're going to argue, and I think we would do a very good job in the conversation, in the argument, is that the best form of revelation, the best preserved form of revelation, therefore, the best collection of words for making people are the words of the Quran. So we're going to read from the Quran, again, chapter 4, verse 135. Now, those of us who are Muslim, we know we just don't pick up the Quran and just begin to read it. We can't do that as Muslims. As Muslims, if we have the physical book in our hand, we will wash our hands, make sure our hands are clean. You're picking up a sacred text. But also, we make sure we're clean on the inside, too. And we say two phrases. I say them in Arabic, and then give a English rendering. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, I seek refuge with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. We say that whenever we read the Quran. Then next, before we read the Quran, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is saying, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We say that second before reading the Quran, unless we are reading chapter 9. So, dear Muslims, don't forget that. You always say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, before reading the Quran. And you always say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the second part, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you say that unless you're reading chapter 9 of the Quran. So the question becomes, well, why is that so? Because chapter 9, titled Tawbah, is dealing with war and fighting. And you don't begin that. You don't go hurt somebody or start a war with the name of God. You may defend yourself in war with the name of God, but you can't go begin to hurt God's creation, human beings, or even plant or poison the waters. You can't do that with the name of God. Now, if someone attack you, then yes, you say Bismillah in defending yourself, but you cannot say Bismillah, that means with the name of God, and go do wrong against God's creation or his creatures. So with that said, we will go here to chapter 4 of the Quran. I thought I had it open. Please forgive me. I don't. I'll get it here in a second. And my computer is quite slow. I'm going to go, okay, chapter 4, You know, we high tech now. We got all these fancy machines called computers and stuff. And so we got to do that. But still, we have to seek God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. Even when you should just be citing the Quran on your own. You may be at home and you're going to recite the Quran from memory. You still have to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And read it here, it says, let me open this back up. Why it's not doing me right. Okay, here you go. It says here, O you who believes, Ya'ayu aladina aminu, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice. Witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves, or your parents, or your kinfolks, and whether it be against the rich, that's Ghani, Ghani, or the poor, the fakir, right? Either one. It says, for Allah can best protect both you and the person who you're telling the truth on, who you've been the witness for or against. Allah can best protect both. He goes on to say, follow not the lust of your hearts, lest you swerve. And if you distort justice or decline to do justice, verily, Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. Alhamdulillah. And we've done reading from the Quran. We say, Sadakallahu al-Azim. Sadakallah is saying the truth. Sadakallahu al-Azim. Allah has spoken a mighty truth. So we have here in this verse here, Yeah, are you Haladina? I am Inu. O you who believe. It says, Kunu Kawamina Bilkisti. Is this word Kawamuna? That's the same name given to the man who's the protecting of his family. From that same idea. Kawamuna from the word Kiyam means to stand. But it's to be also to be standing for the reason of maintaining and protecting. So here it says, be you custodians of justice. All believers, male and female, Allah is calling us to be custodians, the caretakers, the maintainers of justice, by justice, and to be witness. It says, shuhada lillahi, shuhada lillahi, to be a witness unto God, to be a witness unto God, even if it is against anfusikum, yourself, or walidaini, your parents. Good old sweet mama, good old daddy. Come between mama and daddy and tell them the truth. Allah says here in this verse of the Quran, chapter 4, verse 135, Allah says, if it's between mama and the truth, well, mama, I'm sorry, I got to tell the truth. But before that, even says, and susikum, that means yourself. You say, Michael's right here. You and tell them the truth, because I'm being a witness to Allah, right? That's what it says, right? It says, be a witness to Allah. It says here, let's go back to it again. It says, shuhada lillahi. I'm a witness to God. If I'm a witness to God, I got to tell the truth, even if it's against myself, even if it's against my parents, even if it's against near relatives, Y-el-Karabina. That the word karabina is saying someone who's close to you, referring to your family members. And it says, if it be against the rich, Ghanian, right? That's the rich. Or fakiran, that's the poor. Allah says, always tell the truth. Tell your mama, your daddy, your kinfolks, the rich, the poor. If you are going to be a witness to Allah, then you must tell the truth, because it says, Allah behima, Allah is nearer to you than both. So Allah says, don't follow your hawa, your desires. Don't follow your desires. And don't deviate. Deviate, it says here, it says with tadilu. Tadilu being to deviate. Allah said, don't deviate. Don't deviate. And don't distort the truth. And don't refrain from telling the truth. Because he says, because surely Allah, is aware of all that we do. So dearly beloved believers, dearly beloved Muslims, and I'm saying believers across the board. You don't have to be a Muslim to be a believer in this category. I mean, you could be a believer. You could be a Christian, Muslim, Jew, Sabian, whatever. Allah is saying, it don't say, yeah, are you here Muslim? Are you Muslim? It says, yeah, are you here Ladina? I'm a new. It's saying, oh, you who believe. So Allah has given this instruction to all people. Whatever your faith may be, whatever your religion may be, Allah is giving us that instruction that we tell the truth, that we do not hide the truth when we know the truth. I'm still waiting on email nasi.com. I don't see his number. Oh, my goodness. But he'll be here, inshallah. Email nasi, it's your own. She had called in. Can you press 1 on your phone? Then I know you're with me. Okay. Well, I don't see it yet. But he said he'd be here. And if there's anything in his control, he'd be here. That we can depend on. So, dearly beloved believers, remember this verse of the Quran. It says, always tell the truth, even against yourselves, your mother, your father, your kinfolk, the rich, the poor. Be a witness to Allah. Be a witness to Allah. It says here, it says, I read it again, the part that says, be a witness to Allah. It says, Shuhada. You can hear the name Shahid in there, right? Or you can hear Shahada in that word. Shuhada lillahi, you are a witness to Allah. You witness to God. So when you become a witness to God, then everything else, though you may love them dearly, cannot take precedent. The truth must take precedent. And so we read this as a lead in, and we say, Sadaqa Allahu al-Azim, Allah has spoken the mighty truth. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. So we're going to talk about the situation involving our brother, Kyrie Irving. And the title of this program today is In Defense of Kyrie Irving. And I'm glad to hear voices, big voices, speaking out on behalf of our brother. But in the beginning, big voices, putting him down, you know, criticizing him, talking about Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley and Stephen A. Smith. Though Stephen A. Smith did come back and come to Kyrie's defense, but instead he was a big critic of Kyrie Irving. And in his defense, he said he still believes Kyrie was wrong in some ways, but he came back strongly in defense. Another person who came out in defense of Kyrie, which was really shocking to me, I don't know if you all are familiar, but this young lady, she's very intelligent, but she's a very conservative Republican. That's her choice. You know, she wants to support Trump. That's her choice. But she came out very strongly in defense, Kyrie Irving. So write that down, Candace Owens. And just go later on when you get time. Just Google Candace Owens. O-W-E-N-S, defending Kyrie Irving. And I was quite surprised because I heard her before, and I wanted to turn her off, but not this time. So what we're going to do in getting the program started and to bring everyone up to speed who may not be up to speed, we're going to play a short interview of Kyrie Irving. It's dated November 3rd. And this may have been the one that really got him into a situation to where they begin to suspend him and to go after him. What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing to this brother? And so we're going to play that. It's about 6.5 minutes. But listen closely to what he says, and we're going to comment on what he said, because he acknowledges that he did not make the best decision. He acknowledges that he was that he should not have played that, or he didn't play it. He forwarded that message. But he would not submit to them in the way they wanted. But I'll let you hear it for yourself, because we're going to open the phone lines up later on and want to hear from you as well. But at this point here, we're going to play this interview by Kyrie Irving.
Hindsight, are you sorry for the hurt that your post caused people?
I take my responsibility for posting that. Some things that were questionable in there, untrue. Like I said, in the first time you guys asked me when I was sitting on that stage, I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary. So I take my responsibility.
It seems like Adam Silver wanted to hear the word, I apologize, or in your mind, you said I didn't mean to cause any harm. Were you apologizing or did you not apologize?
I didn't mean to cause any harm. I'm not the one that made the documentary.
What are the specific things in the documentary that you don't believe are true and that you don't believe represent your own
life? I think some of the criticism of the Jewish faith in the community, for sure. Some points made in there that were unfortunate.
Kyrie, are you surprised that you did hurt people?
Surprised that I did hurt people?
Are you surprised that reaction and some of the things that you did hurt people?
Yeah, I think I can ask a better question. It's just, where were you when I was a kid figuring out that 300 million of my ancestors are buried in America? Where were you guys asking those same questions when I was a kid dealing with learning about the traumatic events of my familial history and what I'm proud to come from and why I'm proud to stand here and why when I repeat myself that I'm not going to stand down, it has nothing to do with dismissing any other race or group of people. I'm just proud of my heritage and what we've been through. And the fact that this has pinned me against the Jewish community and I'm here answering questions of whether or not I'm sorry or not on something I didn't create, and it was something I shared, and I'm telling everybody I'm taking responsibility, then that's where I sit. So, you know, these same questions that you guys ask, me dealing with it as being a melanated, pigmented person all around the world and dealing with racial biases against my skin color, demeaning me because of my religious beliefs, and I'm still sitting in the seat standing. So I take my full responsibility, again, I'll repeat it, for posting something on my Instagram or Twitter that may have had some unfortunate falsehoods in it. But I also am a human being that's 30 years old, and I've been growing up in a country that's told me that I wasn't worth anything, and I came from a slave class, and I come from a people that are meant to be treated the way we get treated every day. So I'm not here to compare anyone's atrocities or tragic events that their families have dealt with generations of time. I'm just here to continue to expose things that our world continues to put in darkness. I'm a light. I'm a beacon of light. That's what I'm here to do. You guys ask me questions about basketball, I give you my expert opinion. You guys ask me about other things, I give you my opinion, and it's met with whatever you believe the perception or the deception is. You guys investigate my life every day, and you justify it by serving your own purpose, which I honor. I would like the same respect in return, figuring out just like anyone else. So please keep that same energy when we're talking about anti-other things, because just because I post a documentary doesn't mean I'm anti-Semitic, and doesn't mean that I'm automatically standing with everyone that is believing in it. So it's unfortunate timing that we're in, but I'm glad that I could stand on the truth, because I'm not afraid of these mics, these cameras. I used to be. Just looking everyone in the eye and telling them the truth. That I'm proud of who I am. Any label that you put on me, I'm able to dismiss because I study. I know the Oxford Dictionary. You can look it up, right? Just one of the biggest mistakes I had in being a kid was not knowing European or Western language. Until I started looking it up and understanding the definitions and why they say, if you want to trick a black person, put it in the book. I was wondering my whole life why they said that. Now I'm 30 years old and I know reading is a superpower. It helps me understand where I'm going and where I come from. It's like a tree with roots.
Kyrie, the documentary listed among falsehoods, it said the Holocaust didn't happen. Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Those falsehoods are unfortunate. And it's not that I don't believe in the Holocaust. I never said that. Never, ever have said it. It's not come out of my mouth. I never tweeted it. I never liked anything like it. So the Holocaust in itself is an event that means something to a large group of people that suffered something that could have been avoided. No one said we had to practice racism. No one said we had to treat each other like garbage. No one said that I had to stand here today and understand that many people that come from generations 60 years ago, 40 years ago, enslaved some of my ancestors, still spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and it's still going on. And you guys are asking me respectfully to speak on something that was a documentary that I had nothing to do with. I didn't make it. So, just please keep that same energy when you guys are addressing me.
Kyrie, for the record, do you have any anti-Semitic beliefs?
Again, I'm going to repeat. I don't know how the label becomes justified because you guys ask me the same questions over and over again. But this is not going to turn into a spin-around cycle of questions upon questions. I told you guys how I felt. I respect all walks of life and embrace all walks of life. That's where I sit.
I think what people want to hear, though, is just a yes or no on that question. Yes or no.
I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from.
Kyrie, did you personally meet with the ADL?
I was informed that they wanted to have a meeting. And we handled it.
Thanks for watching ESPN on YouTube. For live streaming sports and premium content, subscribe to ESPN Plus.
Okay, so there you have it. It was not as clear as I thought.
Hindsight. Are you sorry for the hurt that you're...
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Yeah, I got it from the YouTube on ESPN YouTube. And yes, so we have it here. That's one of the interviews done by Kyrie Irving. It was not as clear as I hoped that it would be, but that's the quality that we got. But I did take time to type out some of his comments so we can go over them. In this November 3rd interview, they begin to ask him questions about the documentary. The documentary is titled Hebrew to Negroes by a fellow named, last name Dalton. I can't think of his first name right now. I did rent the documentary so I could review it. It's quite long, but I did watch quite a bit of it. And does a lot of DNA tracing and all that. But let me say from the beginning, I had a hard time watching that documentary as a Muslim. Had a hard time. Because from the beginning, he's telling lies on Islam. Just a guy named Dalton. He telling lies on Islam. So not only does this documentary, again titled Negro to Hebrews, not only is it critical of Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews, it is also very damaging or critical about the Islam, the Kaaba in Mecca, the original Arabic of the Quran, he criticizes all this. He's highly critical of the Catholic Church. So for me personally, when I saw that, I had a somewhat of a measurement or stick or gauge to begin to justify or to measure the value and worth by what he said about my particular faith. So not only was the Jewish community criticized and maligned, so was the Islamic community and the Catholic Church as well. That's a point to make along the way. So Kyrie had passed on a tweet, or maybe on Instagram, about this particular documentary, as it's called, Hebrew to Negroes. And all, well, a lot of mess came out of it. I was set back, really a little bit amazed, in particular by Shaquille O'Neal. When he came out on TV, he and Charles Barkley in the same show. Charles Barkley didn't surprise me. And they both, during the same show, called Kyrie an idiot for what he had done. Now, here's the point that we hope to, that if you know more about it, you can add to it. They're giving Kyrie Irving all this trouble and havoc because he retweeted. He didn't originate the tweet. He retweeted something about this documentary, Hebrew to Negroes. That's all he done. That's all he done. However, Shaquille O'Neal, and coincidentally, just for the record, Shaquille O'Neal and Kyrie are from the same town, same city, I should say, Newark, New Jersey. Little age difference, but from the same city. Shaquille O'Neal, he owns a theater in Newark, New Jersey. And guess what Shaquille O'Neal showed at his theater? Or what was shown at his theater? Yes, you got it right. Shaquille O'Neal, who criticized Kyrie Irving for retweeting something about this documentary, at Shaquille O'Neal's theater, he showed the documentary. And no one's going after Shaquille O'Neal. Very interesting question we have to ask. Shaquille O'Neal made money off of this documentary that they want to hang Kyrie for. There's something wrong with that picture. Cannot sit back and allow that injustice to happen and not say something and do something within the law, of course, to protect that brother for the treatment he's receiving. It's not right. It's not fair. As I mentioned a minute ago, I rented the video. Now, you can also buy this video or documentary from Amazon. But no one in the Jewish community, the ABL or the NBA or anybody else is going after the owner of Amazon. I think his name was Bezos, I don't want to say his name. Yeah, Jeff Bezos. He's the owner of Amazon. He's making money off of it. No one's going after him. So why are they going after Kyrie Irving? You know, Kyrie Irving became Muslim a couple of years ago. I'm not saying that's the reason why, because Shaquille O'Neal, he's also Muslim. So we can't say that's the reason why they're going after him. But Kyrie has, you know, done some things that people didn't like. Like last year, he didn't play for many months because he didn't want to take the COVID vaccine and some other things. But that's that man's choice. That's that man's choice. We can't claim freedom of religion, freedom of thought, and all this. And then when a person expresses that freedom, then you're going to condemn them and find them. And dear beloved believers, if we do not stand up for this brother, well then don't expect anybody to stand up for you when it's your turn. That's simple. We heard the story many times of the sheep lined up. And the sheep in the line, they way back in the line, but they see the first sheep get his head cut off and it stays in line. Second sheep, third sheep, when it's their turn, they want to holler help. Somebody help me. You should have helped the first one. And this is what we're looking at now. This is the situation now. So what I may do, because I really want email announcer to join us. Can you hold on for a second? See, can I get him? I think I may have him. Okay, I just spoke with email announcer, and he said it's not letting him through. Maybe he'll get through this time. But I may just do a two-way connection with him. If he can't get in, I just merge him in. So I give him a few more minutes because he got some important things he want to say on this topic as well. So just a review of the video that you just heard. Let me see, did he get in? Let me see. I think I got him. I think I got my brother, Imam Nasser Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Michael Sahir. Can you hear me?
We hear you loud and clear, like you're sitting next to me.
Okay, yeah, I was listening. You know, I was on all the time. I just, for some reason, just couldn't get in. We couldn't get through, you know.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Well, you're in now. Okay, so.
Okay, thank you.
So there's no need for me to bring you up to speed that you know what I've said so far.
Oh, no, I'm quite familiar with the situation. Thank you.
Okay. What I want to do is just go through some of, because I wrote the recording of the interview was not that clear. You can hear basketball in the background. But I just want to go over a few things that Kyrie made very plain in this November 3rd interview. And he said plainly, quote, "I take responsibility for posting that. Some things in there," referring to this documentary, "were all questionable and untrue. I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary." But he said, "I take my responsibility." That, to me, should have been enough. But, man, what are your thoughts on anything you want to share on this topic?
Yes, sir. Our concern, which we need to share with your listening audience, is that people are no stronger than their knowledge. Any human being, doesn't matter your race or even your gender, you are no stronger than your knowledge. If you have limited knowledge and weak knowledge, you cannot rise as an individual nor as a community. And so Kyrie Irving was stating that he has been in search of his ancestral history. He wants to know where he came from, so on and so forth. Many African Americans have done that, even myself. I was searching many, many years for the history that was taken away from me. So he was just passing on a tweet that he thought would be helpful for his people to find their true history. That's a sincere and honest approach. And we should applaud any human being that wants to know their ancestral rights and ancestral history. And so, in our tradition and in our community under Imam W. Dean Muhammad, who's in the Islamic community, the follower of Muhammad the Prophet, it says that a man is simply a product of words. Whatever you read creates your mind. Just like when you eat food, food creates your body. If you eat diseased food, you'll have a sickly body. If you eat corrupt ideas and concepts, you will have a weak mind. And so this is what this is all about. And, you know, in our history as a people, Mm-hmm. We had strong, very strong backs on the plantation, but weak minds on the plantation. So that's how they, mm-hmm. that's how we remained in that state. And now, as a people, as we're coming to develop stronger minds, independent minds, where I think for myself, as any other ethnic race thinks for itself, and individuals in those mm-hmm. races think for themselves, the challenge now becomes,
sir.
How dare you think as a man, and I have not given you permission to do so. And I, let me please say this, Iman, please. For your listeners,
sure,
you might not understand what's going on. Stop seeing an individual, Kyrie. You shouldn't see Kyrie. You should see every African-American, every brown man, every yellow man across the world, but in particular, the African-American in America. And if you try to stand up independent, you know, of what people call establishment, you know, that's another term, where you are no mm-hmm. longer a field slave, you know, it's reciting the narrative of your slave master, and I'm talking about mental slave master. I'm not talking about physical slave master. We still have them,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
They will castigate you. They will humiliate
That's right.
you. And they will send our people who in the days of slavery were called the house Negro, meaning the Negro that was in the house with the master, benefiting from the wealth,
That's right.
from the good food and the good clothes, and send that man against his own people. Now, I want to say this to you, Brother Imam, and to your listeners. For me, myself, I didn't know the whole situation. I had to do research like Imam Sahih. I'm going to say this to your listeners. So I didn't really know what was going on. And on the surface, you know, it sounded like Kyrie might have been wrong on the surface because you only heard
mm-hmm.
one side of the story. So for your listeners, I would even say at this point in time, maybe Charles Barkley didn't know, like me, I didn't know. Maybe Satya didn't know, give him benefit of doubt. But when you hear the controversy, now you're duty-bound to do your own research. And once you do your research, you will find that Kyrie Irving has been lied against. You see? And for a Muslim,
yes,
a Christian, a Jew, you have to stand upon your scripture that says, speak the truth. And this is what this situation is all about. And as Imam Sahih said,
right.
if you do not stand up for truth for this man, it coming against you. When you get into a situation on your job or driving your car in a traffic situation or on an airplane, wherever it may be, and it boils down to you have to speak the truth, they're going to come against you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your stripe is. And as Imam Sahih said, you're going to be looking for some help. It's not about how much money he has or his position as a basketball player. They are trying to destroy this man's character and put fear in you so that you will never stand up as a human being. You see?
That's right.
And we can't tolerate this. No more slaves. No more house Negroes. No, that stuff is over. The boy has
That's
evolved
right.
into a man. And in Islam, there's a phrase in the Quran that says, and what has happened? You know, and the earth is happening, the earthquake. And the earthquake is not in the
That's
ground.
Right.
The earthquake is in the mind. And no more
there you go.
Can you, yeah, no more can you quietly and peacefully oppress any people. Those days are over. Because there's a weakness
That's right.
in the manipulative narrative, you see? Yeah.
Mm.
And I mean, many of
wait
those.
Wait a minute. Yeah, give us some more detail. You said there's in the manipulative argument. Can you give us a little bit more insight on that? What do you mean by that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is what I mean. When you have a people raised in a culture with the powerful image of a one race, you know, if you have in a culture in the world. One race, say, I make it so it's easy for people to take. If you take my black face and you put it all over the world and you say this is the chosen face, this is the face of God. Now, if there's an injustice in that culture, and those people start to speak out against that injustice, all you have to do is put my face up there and they will get quiet. Because my black face will then be a safety valve for the manipulators. And they can't speak out against truth because the truth will go against the image that they have been given as God, or the image that has been given against right. And what will even happen? I can tell the people 2 + 2 = 5, and they won't even come against me because they're coming against God, or they're coming against the authoritative image, you see, that my mama taught me and my grandmama taught me, so on and so on and so forth. So this is the subtle subconscious manipulation that's been going on for 400 years in this country, 430 years. And most of our African Americans don't know the conversation we're having right now. It is past your conscious mind. It is past your rational mind. They have bypassed the logic and have gone into this thing that have buried into the subconscious mind where you cannot speak out for yourself as a man. And this is the issue that's going on. And I'm saying this to every African American, and I'm also saying this to every Caucasian, and I'm saying this to every Jew. It's not about your faith. It's about humanity, you know? And nobody's going to take this anymore, especially from the African-American community. We're not being quiet anymore. You're not going to walk on me. My wife has no respect for me when I don't stand up for her. My children have no respect for me when I will not stand up and protect them as an individual. So it's not Kyrie. It's over 40 million of us. And we're so thankful to Almighty God that you, Brother Imam, have the courage. You got some of us shaking in a boots, supposed to be Muslim. I don't want to hear that garbage. I really don't, you know. And I don't want friendship that will put me in check where I can't speak the truth. I can't do it.
That's right.
You know, I've been quiet.
Right.
I've been trying to listen.
Yes, sir.
And I've heard religious people try to bring up that old trope, you know, from the past. You know, trying to put us back in slavery. You know, the can has been opened. And the genie is out of the box, so they say, you know. And what I'm talking to, I want to say this. The African Americans need to understand the power is in your hand. Okay? They want to play this game with Kyrie Irving. They're going to do with every other African American in the NBA and also the NFL. I don't care what you into. We have to realize that you don't need them. If all the African Americans, and just using this as an example, will stand up as men and say, look, we want you to apologize, not to Kyrie Irving, but to all of us through Kyrie Irving. And if you don't do it, we're going to establish our own. Stop that foolishness.
Yes, sir.
You know, we people, we don't understand, you know, because he's a billionaire, his $1 billion depend on us spending our money with him. That's where the power is,
brothers and
sisters, African American, Christian, Jews, and Muslim. Okay? We don't have to be little boys no more. I know you're afraid you're going to lose your job, but they're going to cut your lights off. You know what I mean? They're going to say you drove your car, you went through a red light, so we're going to crucify you. You follow what I mean? At some point in time, you got to stand up. As men. I'm not talking to the women. The women already, they've been standing up for 400 years. It's we brothers. We got to be men now. You know, so I just thank you. I really do. Because all of us have to be awake,
you
know? And look, I have to, let me just say this one thing. Look, all of us who are listeners, this man represents us, just so unfortunate. And we have to come into this knowledge of this time. This is a different time. And it's reflecting the sacred right of inheritance of every human being. And I'm not talking about inheritance of a dollar bill or a house. I'm talking about an inheritance of dignity, that matter itself, atoms and molecules given to the human being. Okay? Yeah.
Yes.
And you can't purchase it. You can't buy that. Yeah, so I'm going to be quiet. Yeah. Go ahead, Brother.
No,
but you
can be quiet for a couple of minutes. We're going to bring you right back. Because, you know, we're talking about. It's a certain inalienable rights that we have been endowed with by our Creator. You cannot put a dollar figure on those inalienable rights that God gave us. And this is what we're talking about. We have this beautiful document. You know, I'm going to do a coup bar very soon, a sermon very soon. It's going to be titled, America the Beautiful Got to Heal. to the beast. Because we have these beautiful documents. We have these beautiful laws. But they haven't been applied equally. They say one day that the mountain's going to be made low and the valley is going to be lifted up. Well, we're in that day right now. And so when Kyrie stands up, that is us standing up. And if they shut him down, that's us being shut down. I'm going to go over back to his interview. I want to make sure people could hear what he said. They asked Kyrie about the Holocaust in the same interview. And he says, those falsehoods. You hear that, brother? Brother Mel? He said, he said, those falsehoods are unfortunate, and it is not because I don't believe in the Holocaust. I never said that. He repeated, I never said that. It has not come out of my mouth. I never tweeted it. I never liked anything about it. So the Holocaust in itself is an event that means something to a large group of people that suffered, something that could have been avoided. So he made it plain that the Holocaust was something that was bad. It caused suffering. He recognized it. Now this is the part that they don't like. Because then he said, now I recognize the Holocaust as a bad thing. He says, but he said, no one said we had to practice racism. No one said we had to treat each other like garbage. No one said that I had to stand here today and understand that many people that come from generations 60 years ago, 40 years ago, and enslaved some of my ancestors. And he says, still, he explained how they were being enslaved. He says, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and it's still going on. So now they kind of get him to apologize for what he didn't say and never said. But then he said, now what about my people in my situation? And so the believers understand this here too. Kyrie, he was born in Australia. He came back to America when he was 2. But his mother, her name was Elizabeth. She was half Lakota Indian. But she died when Kyrie was 4 years old. But he still reconnected. He went back to the Indians. After being an NBA All-Star, he went back to the Indians and gave the Indians money. And he's recognized. He also has a recognition with the American Indians. So when he says his people are being mistreated, he's speaking about African Americans and also the American Indian. Brother Imam Nasser, people don't like that. They want him to guess. Like he told LeBron James years ago, LeBron just played basketball, just bounced the ball, because LeBron came out speaking about issues that they didn't like. And dear people, there's another side reference I want you all to know. There's a book came out years ago. I'm not sure what year it came out. Here it is. Came out in 2006. And this is written by a brother named William C. Roden, R-H-O-D-E-N. Brother Imam Nasser, you know what his book is about? It's about basketball players, football players, and baseball players. You know what the name of his book is?
No, sir.
It's called $40 Million Slaves.
Right.
Very good
book.
Came out in 2006. You see, so now here's Kyrie. LeBron James done it, and a few others, Colin Kaepernick done it. Well, these brothers, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, he done it. Carlos,
right.
What's the brother back in 68 in the Olympics? They raised the Black Power fist, Carlos and Lewis. When they raised their fist, it's like you are, and they say, we know we got it in the document that you're free and all that, but you all can't do that unless you get my permission to do it. And as you get
right.
said, Brother Imam, that day is gone. And
yes,
I say this here too. We owe our foreparents who were in slavery, went through serious Jim Crow, lynch, and all that in the hollow flesh, we owe all them times 10. And how we can pay them is by us standing up for the rights that they died for. she can't do that.
Yes, sir.
You're not worth. You're not worth your salt. You're not worth your salt.
Yes, sir.
So,
yeah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Let me see. I know I got some callers here. Then, dear callers, when you call in, your calls are welcome. But don't call in here talk about no hate talk. Don't call in here putting down no set of people, because I will, Michael Sahir, I will take you off. Okay, so don't be confused. Well, normally I don't do this, but I got to carry a big stick today.
Because it's heated. It's heated. Yeah, it's very heated, and our people are hurt. You know, and they're tired
they
of the insult.
Yeah.
They're tired of the insult and injury, you know, and trying to castigate the innocent as the guilty. And this is what's going on. You know, I want to say this, you know, so that your listeners can understand the bigger picture. The bigger picture, they're talking about anti-Semitism from Kyrie, you see. And our people do not understand that there are forces of destruction that are in your own thoughts. I'm talking about African Americans. You call your women the letter B. There's music that goes around, and I'm telling the truth, I'm not exaggerating, that says that I have raped that so-and-so B. This is our black people making this music. But what I'm trying to tell our listeners about this situation that they're not realizing, where are you getting this from? You're getting it from music. And you do not control the music industry. So if somebody's going to go against Kyrie for a possible anti-Semitic statement, what about these people who own the entertainment industry, music and movies, that denigrate us as a whole people? Nothing is said.
Good question.
And your young children, you African-American, Muslims, Christians, or whatever you may have, your and my children, our grandchildren, going around singing these songs that have been promoted to be produced by our so-called black entertainers that hold our people hostage and hold our people down, you know, calling us bees and whores and so on and so forth. It's going on right now as we're speaking, and it's very popular. Who is pushing that? Who is behind this? Who is putting the mind? Who is signing these young artists to the contract? You have to hold these people accountable, just like you're trying to do Kyrie. And it's the same thing, just like they won't say anything against Jeff Bezos, they won't say anything against this big industry. And most of our African Americans are starting to talk like us as Muslims. They're getting this courage, and all of a sudden now you've got some of those people in that corrupt industry on the so-called black talk shows trying to do damage control. You know? It's not us.
Yeah,
it is.
You got a lot of people who are controlled by big industry, and they're going to say what they feel will make big industry happy. But that's why, Candace Owens, she's a staunch Republican, super conservative. But when that sister spoke, man, she defended Kyrie. I mean, so what she says in her interview, check this out.
Yeah.
She says while she's defending Kyrie, she said, there was a lot of pressure put on me to condemn him. But when I watched what he was saying, she said, that's my brother. She came up.
Yeah.
Dear listener, I know I got three people on hold, been on hold forever. I'm bring them in, but I'm going to tell everybody, make your comments, make it with a feeling, you know, be true to yourself, but don't condemn any group because I will take you off. Don't speak hate to any group because I will take you off. First caller, this is like a 414. Is that a Milwaukee number? I think it is. Caller 414, you've been on hold from the beginning. Caller 414, what can you use your first name and city, please? Yeah, brother, I know that voice, brother
alaikum.
Onay.
Yes, sir.
Alaykum as-salam. Can you hear me?
Bismillah.
Yes, sir. You have a comment?
I got a comment actually a couple of them. Our being able to protect our leadership and the land we occupy, we need to be able to do that. The second point I'd like to ask, we have to be able to protect our leadership and the land that we occupy. And I'm talking about the Nation of Islam talk. If we're sitting on the left, our people is sitting on the land, we should be able to control that land. I hope I'm making myself clear. My other point is...
Wait a minute. I'm trying to connect that first statement with our topic today with Kyrie Irving. Can you speak a little bit further? I don't see the connection.
What Dr. Nasser has been talking about, brother, being able to protect our brother for using his free speech. He's being attacked for expressing himself, and he has a right for free speech.
That's right. Yes, sir. Thank you.
But my other point is, brother, telling the truth going to always be anti-Semitic? Truth is truth. Prove what I'm saying is untrue rather than just saying that I'm anti-Semitic.
Okay. That's a good question. Even now, so you want to address that? You said, when is telling the truth not going to be anti-Semitic? Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah. For all of us, in our sacred book, it says, among the people of the book are those who stand for justice and righteousness and good deeds. This is the Quran saying this. And the Quran is addressing the Jews and the Christians, that among them are people that practice truthfulness and righteousness. So it is not a condemnation of all Christians or all Jews. It's the condemnation of hypocrites that are among all faith communities. Among Muslims, we have hypocrites. Among the Christians, there are hypocrites. Among the Jews, there are hypocrites. And this situation is not going to improve until the righteous people among all three groups start attacking the enemy that is within their group. And what this is dealing with is that, you know, the human being has been created from a mind, from a personality, from a psychological makeup of the inner person. And we are to see ourselves as products of the inner person, more importantly. And so a man has to resonate with the truth that is within him. You know, 2 + 2 = 4 is in me. And like our dear brother just pointed out. And when somebody tries to tell you 2 + 2 = 5, you have to speak out against that. Just using this little baby analogy so that most of our listeners can understand what's really, really going on right now. You know, and that man is right. If you live on a land, the land is your resource, right? You are right, brother. The land is a resource, but also the person on the land is a resource also. And these manipulators, they want to control both our material resources and our mental resources. And it's no more time for that. I'm not gonna be silent, you know, for the rest of my life. I mean, and I said something that offended some people, but they have to grow up. Whomever is the victim, the Muslim has to stand in defense. And Imam Sahih, he mentioned something from the Quran. The Quran says that I have to speak the truth, even if it is against myself, against the rich, against the poor. This is in the Quran. Okay, sometimes the rich are wrong. They have to be corrected. Sometimes the poor are wrong. They have to be corrected. Sometimes I am wrong, and I'm hurting my own people. As a so-called black man, I have to be corrected. You see? And this is what it's about. So if I can correct myself, then I can correct any man that's on this face of the earth. He ain't my God. You see? And this is the foolishness that we have to get out of our community. This is the foolishness. Well, don't say nothing about them people.
Yes,
God's going to strike you dead. Yeah, but while, in the meantime, you're losing 20 members of your African-American community a day nationally. You know? No more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. And look, I have to say this. I give credit to Minister Farrakhan. I do. And he took a very serious position that is Quranic. Nobody could go against that man. You know, and it's important because he has high visibility and he didn't hide. He didn't cower behind, you know. And I'm looking for these other so-called big leaders, you know, in our social agencies, NAACP, Urban League. I'm talking the big boys. I haven't heard a word, you know, and I give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I didn't hear, you know, maybe I didn't hear from the venue that they were on. But look, if you're going to condemn a man for speaking the truth, there is no future for you at all. You can forget. You might as well take your shovel, dig a hole in your backyard, and jump in it, you know? So we're thankful to Allah. The forces of destruction are your own thoughts that have been given to you by a corrupt culture. You see, they are very slick. Let me just say this, Imam, I'll be quiet. You know, it's one thing for a man in a blue suit to kill you. I'm just using this as an example. He got a blue suit on, and he kills you. And the people watching, they say it was the man in the blue suit that killed him. You had witnesses. But it's a different thing when the man in the blue suit gives you thoughts, and the thoughts that he gave you kills you and your community. You see, and this is where our people have to see the subtle enemy that Kyrie is dealing with. Stop being, you know, necessarily a person, but see the thought. This is what's being used, and their thought, their manipulative methodologies are being exposed, and they don't want African Americans to see. It's not the white man per se. It's a corrupt thinking. Because if you kill that white man, that same corrupt thinking gonna be here because you didn't kill the false thought. And this is the power they're afraid of. Say, my God, these black people have found us, because in the Quran it says, and fight the schemes of Satan. It never said fight Satan. So the best thing, you know, I ain't concerned about no white man. I'm concerned about the white man thinking. Because if that white man drops dead today, that thinking will be here another 100 years. But God has blessed us now, and we see the thinking. We know that we don't have to go after the flesh. We go after the real enemy. Thank you for listening.
Yes, sir. And also, I want to just do a follow-up. The second part of his question was, when is telling the truth not going to be anti-Semitic? And I want to share this here that I spoke with a good friend of mine, a Jewish rabbi. We talked about this issue for over an hour. But then I kind of segue and I asked the question about Semitic. I said, why is it that this label Semitic is only, at least in the American thinking that I know of, why is it only applied to Jewish people when a Semitic people are those whose language is Semitic? Therefore, Arabic, Aramaic, Hebrew, and maybe a few other languages, I don't know. These are all Semitic languages. Therefore, the ones that speak that tongue are also Semitic. But in our thinking, the word Semitic is only applied to Jewish people. And
that's right.
I was surprised by his reply. And his reply was very simple. He said, that's a good question. And I'm like, but the question that Brother O'Neill is asking is that when is telling the truth not going to be anti-Semitic? And I give a piece on that because the phrase anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic, is not a sensitive issue. It is a hyper-sensitive issue.
Right.
And people walk on eggshells. People walk
right.
on
and
eggshells around
right.
that. So I think it's the question that Brother O'Neill was asked. When is telling the truth not going to be anti-Semitic? Because, see, there's a lot. Because you already hit on it, Brother Imam. You know, we got some young people. We got some young African Americans who are hurting us with their language, with their conduct, with the murder rate. They are hurting us and our tradition and our sacrifices. So that we cannot be so sensitive to where we can't criticize African-Americans, even on the surface, if you dig into it, you may become critical of it because
the in-depth meaning of Black Lives Matter does not support Black lives. Okay? But you can't say that in the public, can you? But it's true.
That's right.
So the question, I'm going back to Brother O'Neill's question. When is telling the truth not going to be anti-Semitic? Is it that hypersensitive that we can't speak truth when we know it to be true? And there are those in the Jewish community who know that, and they tell the truth on themselves, but we can't say anything. Or even like Kyrie, he can't even pass on a tweet without being jumped on. When does that stop?
Right. Yes. And O'Neal is right. He's exactly right. You know, this is a sensitive issue. That's a defense mechanism.
Yes,
like I said, that's buried in the subconscious minds of Caucasians and African Americans. It's there. It's a safety valve. And so when you say anti-Semitism, all the thinking stops. 2 + 2 = 4. You know what I mean? The sun doesn't rise from the east instead of the west. You see what I mean? And so we have to realize that certain things have been used to block progress, to block discussion, to block exploration, you know, into things that are harmful and hurtful. And now here's what I want to say, because it's an emotional issue, right? It's really used as an emotional check. But what people have to understand that it is your intelligence. This is what O'Neill is he's alluding to, and I support him. Intelligence has to rise and crown the emotional nature that has been used against the individual. And for your listeners, most of us don't understand these points. If you take the term emotion and you spell it, it's E-M-O-T-I-O-N. If you take the E off, what do you have? Motion.
Mm-hmm.
So emotion is to use the person, to move the person. And if it wasn't for the correct application of emotion, your father would not have moved to your mother to bring about your life. You see? So what they're doing is trying to use emotions to burn up the intellect so that the people who are oppressed will never be able to use their faculties for the process of their liberation and further evolution of their creation that God has done through nature. There's no man, and I'm saying this individual. I remember as a little child, you know, I was raised in the church, and we would go down south, and they would tell us when you go to church, you had the black side where you would go to get communion and the white side where you go to get communion. And if you would go to the white side, you know, it would, don't go over there, and so on and so on. So what our parents were doing unconsciously was ingraining in us fear of a physical face of a white man. It's happened in the black community, in the black Christian church, Catholic. I lived this. I went through this. And me and my brother, we was 5 and 7 years old, and we went from the black side, we went on the white side, because we were raised in Chicago. We didn't pay garbage. We were little kids, you know. And what happened, the priest would come down and give all the white people communion and went past us and gave the white people communion. Now, I lived this as a child. So imagine the emotional impact that had on my mind and my older brother's mind. You see what I mean? This is what I'm trying to get people to understand what the issue is about. You know, my parents wouldn't challenge it. My grandparents who were alive wouldn't challenge it. Why? Because the safety valve told them, say nothing in their subconscious mind. But we free children. We didn't know anything about black and white and all this kind of foolishness. You see? So we were born prepared for this time. Most of us are talking now, you know. And most of our people, they don't know these concepts that we're sharing, you know, O'Neill and you and myself, but we have to say this. And thank you, O'Neill. Don't hold back. Put those concepts out in the public, you know. And believe it or not, it's going to help Caucasians and Jews also. When they hear that you're no longer talking to a boy, they're going to change. And you're going to get the respect that our ancestors wanted. I don't raise my sons. I have 5 sons, and I told them, if I see you bow to a white man or a white-looking man, I said I will beat you back into the grave. I told my boys this when they were young. You see what I mean? Because this is very serious to me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this ain't about no black and white.
That's right. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're going to go to our next caller. You know what? We got a next caller from Indianapolis, or the next two are from Indianapolis. But, you know, I want to read something. There's an article that I wrote. It should be in the Recorder newspaper, which is a locally black-owned paper, as well as a Muslim journal. And let's see, can I find this here? Yeah, just please bear with me when I read this, because I think it's important. I says, there are strong undercurrents flowing in the defending of Kyrie, especially after he publicly apologized twice. American justice, the U.S. Constitution, First Amendment, freedom of speech protects Kyrie, regardless if we agree or disagree with him. Kyrie, as with all Americans, has freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of thought. Let us remember that Irving publicly distanced himself from the film by saying it does not reflect my morals and principles. For many within the African-American community, and just a little side note, this is what white people don't understand. Maybe our Jewish friends don't understand, but you got to understand this here. And that is, for many within the African-American community, our defense of Kyrie is also our declaration, not a plea, not a request. Yes, a declaration that we can and we will independently apply our intellects using our own brains to come to our own conclusions, opinions, and resolutions on matters that affect our families and communities. Many in the African-American community feel that Kyrie is being punished because he is unapologetically using his own intellect, a right denied to our ancestors who could not exercise that basic inalienable right that our Creator endowed upon every child of Adam. Many folks outside of the African-American experience may not appreciate how important that is to the continual rise of the children of Africa who have made America their home, a rising out of the mental and spiritual slavery that continues to haunt and stifles their existence and their future holistic growth. Quit making Kyrie the latest prototype of what can happen to one who wakes up, stands up, and dares to speak up. And it goes on. So I just wanted to share this at that point. I mean, I'll share that at this point, because this is what we're looking at, and this is what we're going to reiterate throughout this program. Going to our next caller. This caller here is from Indianapolis, 317-400. Your own words made people. Can you give us your first name and your city? Your first name in the comments, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
My name is Brother Daniel from Indianapolis,
yes,
Indiana. Noor Ilah Islam Center.
All right.
I was listening to the show, and my understanding is that they're trying to destroy or condemn Brother Ari for what he's standing up for is the truth, and trying to, what should I say, trying to find his history of his people. He might have made some false comments, but he's strong enough to apologize and go forth with the truth.
Yes, sir.
That's all I wanted to say, my brother.
Yes, sir. We thank you.
Now, the most important thing. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. The most important thing for the listeners to know, and there's a confusion here, and this is what they're using against him. He didn't say anything anti-Semitic. See, this is the point that the African-Americans have to understand. He's persecuted for something is a false charge against him. Okay?
Right.
So as African Americans, we have to say to ourselves, he didn't make any statement against those people. That's the first question from the African-American community that needs to be answered. The man was innocent. They're lying on him. You see, I'm sorry to say it so bluntly, but he didn't say anything anti-Semitic against the Jewish people. And as I'm saying, that is the psychological check that's in the African-American community and the white Christian community that our dear brother was pointing to. When does truth become anti-Semitic? And this is exactly what is happening. You, dear brother,
that's right.
If you speak something truthful against somebody, they're going to turn it against you. And now you're going to be anti-Semitic. And this is the point that we have to focus on. You know, did he say something anti-Semitic? Yes or no? Now, this is the question that has to be asked.
No, he did not.
First of all, from the black community. Wait, hold on. The black community has to answer the question, did this black man say something anti-Semitic? So the whole black community has to say, yes, he did, or no, he didn't. You can't speak from emotion. You have to speak from knowledge. And when you find out that this man said nothing, then you have to see that this same thing is going to happen to you if you take a position of truth. You see? Yeah, this is the point. Yes. I've heard many black people say, well, he said, you see what I mean? So what's happening, they have used the narrative to judge the man and execute the man in the minds of the black people. See, this is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
This is the issue. When is the black man going to have his own independent mind and tell whoever it might be, look, you are not going to persecute, you're not going to denigrate my people anymore and manipulate them emotionally to support you in wrong. See, this is what's happening. It's emotional, blind reaction. It's not even a response from the African-American community. And I charge any leader to take me point on point, because I'm going to call you either you ignorant or you're a devil. If you're ignorant, you should be quiet. If you're a devil, you should be exposed. That's where we are. I'm sorry. You know?
Well,
I have five boys. Hold on. I have five sons.
Yes,
this is where I'm coming from. You hear me? I have five sons, and you're not going to do that to my son. And you're not going to do that to any other young man that's out here in America. You're not going to do this to anybody
right.
in the world anymore, and we be silent. You see what I'm saying? So this is the, what is the truth of the matter? The truth of the matter, the man didn't say that. My goodness. Oh,
you know what? And let me just ask you that. And let me add to it, because why are they not going after Shaquille O'Neal when he made money off the same? He did play someone in his organization. They played the movie at Shaquille's theater in Newark, New Jersey. But no one's saying a word to Shaquille.
Yeah, but you know what, Imam? I will give Shaq the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's got so many businesses, maybe he wasn't aware.
No,
you understand what I'm saying?
No, because Shaquille came out on TV and he blasted Kyrie for this same tweet, calling him ignorant on national TV.
I'm with you. But here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like many of the other castigators, you know, Stephen A., Jalen Rose, and on and Shannon Sharp, you know, these big boys too, they came out against him. But what I'm saying to you, they did a little research, and they found out that he was innocent. Then they changed their position. So all I'm saying, is maybe he didn't know. That's all I'm saying. You know, if he didn't know, okay, he's speaking in innocence. I can handle that, you know. But when I bring it to your attention that he, first of all, he didn't say anything, and you showed it in your movie house. You know, he got so much businesses, maybe he just forgot. You see, I give him the benefit of the doubt. That's all I'm saying. But once it's...
I'm not giving it to him because he should have came back by then.
Already.
He should have came back like Stephen A. Smith did. and came back and
right.
said Kyrie was still wrong, but Kyrie, Stephen A. Smith, he was saying you are
okay.
not going to do this.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm just, you're it's just like, okay, let's give him a chance. Maybe didn't know that. Okay. I got your point. I got your point. I'm with you 100%.
Okay. Yes, sir.
You know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can go to our next caller. Listen, if you want to join us, you press one on your phone. Next caller is also from Indianapolis. Indianapolis, 317-442. Your own words, my people. Can you give us your first name? I know your city. Can you give us your first name?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Talib Dean from Indianapolis, Indiana. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother Imams.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I have a comment. One, I have two comments. One, Ernie Johnson and Charles Barkley, they have a podcast called The Steam Room. And November the 2nd, they had a guest on their podcast by the name of Rabbi Erez Sherman. And Charles Barkley made it a point to say that a lot of people know that his daughter is married to a Jewish person. And he wanted to speak to someone that had more knowledge on the subject than himself. So he asked mm-hmm. the rabbi, had he seen the movie or read the book? And the rabbi's statement was that I have not seen the movie, but that he
Which
knows
movie is this?
That it's From Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up, Black America.
Okay.
Okay. He said, I have not seen the movie. So you can go back and look for the podcast wherever you have your subscriptions. It's a free podcast, and it's called The Steam Room. And the date is November
okay.
2nd. Okay. And so when the rabbi said that he had not seen the movie, then you are making an uneducated statement about the movie.
True.
Because you
True.
Have not seen it. And so when I went to the gym, to the YMCA, to do my physical therapy, I work out with two brothers, one older than me, several years my senior, and one my age. And so I asked the older brother purposely, what is the definition of uneducated opinion? And he said, when you make an opinion having no knowledge of a topic. So I agreed with him, and I began to share with him what we had already been talking about, this idea about Kyrie and how they treated him. So it's important for me that my grandsons who are sitting here and my granddaughter and my wife, you know, my wife's been talking about this issue with her girlfriends, that do not speak on anything that you do not have any knowledge of, because
mm-hmm.
it will make you look ignorant. People will not believe you if you say, I have no knowledge of whatever the topic is. And so for Charles to come out and say that Kyrie was wrong and that he made anti-Semitic statements or that the movie is anti-Semitic without having seen it, to me that is just ignorant on his part. And tonight,
yes,
Kyrie is going to be playing his first game after being suspended for, I think, 7 games against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that they're going to question him in the post game, of which they may show or they may not show, depending on how well Kyrie plays and if Brooklyn wins. But I agree with you, brother Imam Nasser Ahmed, and speaking from a place of no knowledge, it just shows your ignorance. It's important that our young black men understand the world that they're living in, and that's why I'm trying my best to educate my grandsons while Allah is allowing me to be here on this earth with them. So I didn't have a question. I just wanted to share that in case listeners and believers didn't know that this is the case with Charles and this one particular rabbi, that he had not seen it, but it's anti-Semitic. You're coming from a place of ignorance, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you're doing with your children.
Thank
you for working with your grandchildren. Thank you.
You're welcome, Brother Emile. You're welcome.
Man, I'll see you have a follow-up on that? Or should we go to our next caller?
Yes. Just right quick. Just very, very quickly. For our listeners, you know, the very reason why we have life is because life has been motivated and pushed by innocence. Life itself. You know, the human being cannot develop in the womb of his mother if it's exposed to filth. If you take the life germ of the male and the egg of the woman and put it on a table, put them together, you know, like your dining room table, it will not develop life because it is exposed to germs. And the very thing that you're trying to develop will be it will be worked against and killed because of external harm of germs and microorganisms in the environment. Okay, so the same thing with the human mind. The human mind starts from a point of innocence or truth. And when you introduce powerful concepts to the mind, I don't mean to offend anybody, that mind is developing and you tell them it's Easter. That mind is developing, you tell them it's Christmas. That mind can never come to full maturity because of the harmful statements that has been made against its development. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have somebody who speaks the truth, you have to leave them alone because they're defending your mental life. You know? And as I keep trying to say, it's not about Kyrie. It's not about that one person. It's about all of the second class, third class people in the world.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. We're going to continue on here. And we thank our brother Tyler Dean for calling in with that wonderful observation. So, dear people, if you want to if you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your phone, and we will work you into the conversation. You see, was there anything else I wanted to mention? Because now, let me see. When Kyrie was given that punishment, another big challenge with that is that first they accepted his apology. And Kyrie was going to put up $500,000. Also, his basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets, were going to put up another $500,000. And they went into agreement with the ADL, that's a Jewish league. And what I understand from talking with some of my Jewish friends that every person you don't agree with the ADL because they say the ADL is Zionist. That's a whole different conversation, okay? But I just wanted to make that distinction. But after this interview, when Kyrie was not contrite enough, he wasn't humble enough, he wasn't submissive enough, even though they had agreed to take his $500,000 and the Nets' additional $500,000, they backed out of the deal. And then they upped the ante, so to speak. They increased the pressure and began to go against him. He lost a Nike shoe contract. Like somebody said about Nike, they need help too because of the cheap labor that they use overseas. So when you begin pointing fingers, you know, you got to be very careful. And I guess it's saying go for many fingers. So you got to be very careful. But I'll also tell the truth. Be a witness to him. So you got this brother, he didn't apologize. Kyrie, he apologized, made the deal, but then they backed out. So we cannot allow this to happen and not be challenged. They asked Kyrie about being anti-Semitic, and he said, I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. They didn't like that. He was not kissing, excuse my expression, he wasn't kissing their behind when he said that. I guess they want him to guess, Brother Imam Nasser, I mean, I guess they want him just to buck and dance and yes, a boss, and I'm sorry. And Kyrie is of a generation that's, they're not cut from that. They're not cut from that. So
right.
He's only 30 years old, you know what I'm saying? And he recognizes
right.
that. He said, I take my full responsibility again. I repeat it. This is all in the same interview. I repeat it for posting something on my Instagram or Twitter that may have had some unfortunate falsehoods in it. But I'm also
yes.
a human being that's 30 years old. Then this is what they don't like. He said, I've grown up in a country that told me I wasn't worth anything. I come
right.
from a slave class. I come from a
right.
people that are meant to be treated the way we get treated every day. That's where they fell out because he wasn't kissing. Excuse my expression. He wasn't kissing him behind. He telling the truth.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you know what it is? It's exposing. No matter how high you rise, if you're not self-aware, you're still a slave. It's unfortunate, you know. And what
book.
I wanted to say is, you know, we have to be protected, and I'm speaking to everybody, against family social deformative behavior, you know, the behavior that deforms our family. And I'm talking about the African Americans as an entire family. In such a way that lifeless objects are more important than each individual, you know? The Mercedes car is more important. The show on the media, my amount of money in my bank account, these things are more valuable than the individual member of the African-American community. We have to be protected against that social deformity. And also, we have to be protected so that you are not an inmate in your own mental prison. These are subtle points that people, the majority of us, we don't think like this, you know. And this is what's tripping us up, you know, the failure to recognize the invisible subconscious thoughts that have been placed in our mind that work against us. And we don't need a white man or anybody else to work against us. These terrible lyrics and our so-called freedom of speech music is what's holding our people down. And then the other people sign us to a contract and pay us big money so that we can destroy the mental processes of our own people. Okay? So what about that? If you have anti-Semitism, then what do we call that? You know? What do we call it?
Yeah.
Anti-black? What's the language? And who is that coming from? Who is putting those dollars in our community to make the music that destroys our future? I am being denied a future. You talk about anti-Semitism. What about me who's being denied a future? My young son, my grandson, cannot come into a clear mental field of thinking without being told that he's half of a man, three-fifths of a human being. Indirectly, you know, and that my daughters are, excuse my language, W's and B's, you know what I'm saying, okay? And this is music, and you intentionally fund this. So what are you doing? It's the mental slave plantation that is replacing the physical slave plantation. And this language is getting out there, and they don't like it. So they call it, you know, anti-whatever they want to. No, that's not what it really is. They're trying to deny you your expression as a man. That God gave you.
That's right.
I don't care if you Christian,
right.
Jew, or whatever. It ain't about them labels no more. It's about the content of the man that's on the inside. Okay?
That's right.
Now, somebody got to speak.
That's right. Yeah, you know, as they say, if a man fits in his heart, so is he. And they're feeding us poison. Oh, my goodness. We're gonna come on down. We got another caller coming up, a couple callers here. This caller has been kind of patient here. Caller from 201. Caller from 201. You on Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zakiya from Jersey City.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Mr. Hajit.
Yes, sir. I'm just so proud of you, brothers, and this program that you're doing. And I just want that more people get to hear it. You know, it's the media. The media affects how we think and influences people. So the people who have the greater media access to our minds are the ones who are influencing how we're thinking and what we're doing. But if they could hear this program, I think it would be a great, great benefit to us all if we can just get people to listen to this whole program. I've been on since about 1:30, and I'm so grateful to Allah that he allowed me to come on today. So thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you. Imam Nasir, love you, appreciate you so much. And may Allah, you know, make our children and grandchildren better listeners and increase them in knowledge and in the power and the sense of self-worth that we are due. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. But I also know that these shows are archived. You can take them to your fast. These shows are archived. If you got the link, you can watch it. You can pass it on to your friends. Go ahead, Brother Mal.
Yes, it is you, the dear sisters, that we are obligated to stand up for. You know, as Muhammad the Prophet said, paradise lies at the foot of mother. And no man can get here without a woman. And that woman is protecting that child for 9 months. That's why they call it motherhood. She has a hood that is protecting that life. And when she's first conceived, she does not know. Her body is flat. But as time goes on, the stomach starts to round and gets bigger and bigger, and most people don't understand what's going on. What's going on is God is saying through every woman that my intention, that the dignity that I put in every man not be limited. And so it starts out as a microscopic, you know, almost invisible thing that you cannot see with your eyes. But over time, it expands the body of the woman, you know, to let us know that even the first form of slavery, and I'm going to say this so people can really understand, the first form of slavery is in the woman's womb. And that baby is tied to that mother, you know, by a chain. I just umbilical cord, but it's a chain. But what I'm saying, this is the only slavery that God will allow, because this type of slavery evolves the person from inferiority to superiority. That slavery took him from an invisible drop and made him complete with brains and lungs and heart and kidney. You see what I mean? So it wasn't really slavery in that sense of the word. It was a protective environment to give you the freedom to develop to your destined place. Yeah. So it means fulfilling the potential that God intended for every human being. Yeah. Yeah. And I hope you don't mind me saying, I want to just say this one thing, please. If you ever notice, I'm talking to every people that are listening. If you ever notice, when you put on some new clothes that you chose yourself, you went to the store, you saw this new dress, this new suit, you said, I want it. When you put that dress on and that suit, it made you feel different. It made you feel better if it was a suit or if it was a dress. If you be truthful, you say, yep, that's the truth. Well, the same thing if you felt that way about your body, the same thing when you get new knowledge. New knowledge makes you feel better about yourself, and you have a new energy and a new spirit to do some good. And this is what the struggle is now. They want to maintain the old thinking in the African American. So he cannot come into this new liberation thinking where he compete with everybody else in the world. That's the fear. You do not have the right to make $1 billion like I do, unless I tell you it's okay. You know? No. It's over.
You know,
it's over. I'm not raising my son and daughters that way.
And something else, too, that I'd like to reflect on before we go to our next caller from St. Louis. As Tyree indicated, he said, no, I'm 30 years old. And for those of us who came into the Nation of Islam or came the first time coming to Islam, period, you have to give us, as African Americans, a little leeway. But people who have been lied on so strongly and lied to so much, not for a year, not for a decade, not for a century, but multiple centuries been lied to and lied upon, you got to give us a little break when we get just a little glimpse of the truth. And when we first heard Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad's spokesperson, because Malcolm was only saying what Elijah Cogan would say at that time, or we heard whoever we heard, even though going with the Black Hebrew Israelites or the Moai Science Temple or whatever it may be, don't bother our development never. When you done lied to us for so long and so strong, that we get excited with a little bit of a half truth, and be ready to run home. I know myself, and even Nelson, you probably the same way. And those listening were the same way. When we first heard even a little bit of the Nation of Islam, we got so excited. Why? Because we had been abused and lied to for so long. So let Kyrie develop. Everybody else had to develop, right? Every country, I don't care what country, nation, or religion you have, to go from inferior, because you may have not, so you just described it, with the child being born, and you go from inferior to superior. And here we are, African Americans, we lost our name, lost our language, lost everything, and people lied to us, still lying to us about who we really are. And some come along and give us a little glimpse of the truth of who we are. Don't criticize us for getting excited and want to go tell somebody. Don't do that. You're wrong for doing that because you were wrong for holding us down. Okay. Next caller. I see on the list 314. I know this number. This is the brother from the SGL, Brother Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Imam Mikhail Sayer, and to your very esteemed guest, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. This is Mark Shaheed for STL, the gateway city of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I just want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I've just been listening in. What a wonderful program that you have, and Imam Sayer and you and Dr. Nasser Ahmed are bringing up some very valuable points, as well as the listenership. The sister, I really enjoyed listening to the sister and the points that she was making, and what Dr. Nasser said. Even about the mother, as a wordologist, I look at that word mother, M-O-T-H-E-R, and that really means making our true human existence real, making our true human existence real. And that is a role and responsibility, the honor and distinction Allah has given to the mother in terms of making our true human existence real. The baby comes here. And for a while, the baby is in a state of what is called fantasy as opposed to reality. You know, and this program is titled Words Make People. Words Make People. And as you so eloquently articulate each and every time you're on the air, the best words to make the people be what it is that they were created to be is the word of revelation. We get that in the final revelation of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us it is true scripture that gives us our true picture. And so I think when Kyrie made the statement, he says, I know who I am. You know, those are cold words.
Right.
Only those persons, you understand, that are very knowledgeable knew what he's saying. But Kyrie is a Muslim. He's growing. He's developing. He's only 30 years of age, you know. But it's very, very important that we know and understand and realize that. And Dr. Nasser, what you said is so very, very important. You know, when you start dealing with the mind, you start dealing with the mind. This is one of the first things our beloved teacher and leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, took us to. You know, when man means mind, woman, womb of mind. And so it's a battle. It's a battle today for the minds of the people, you know.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand and realize that there's a lot of things, you understand, that are very detrimental to human progress today. And they're locked up in the words, like Dr. Nasser said, in the lyrics of the music and all of this. And nobody's saying anything about it. It's like the big elephant in the room, and nobody sees that, you see.
Right.
So we have to be vigilant as a people. And Allah gives us our position and our disposition in the Quran. Allah says, stand firmly with me. Stand firm. What do you mean stand firmly with him? Stand firmly on God's word, you see. So if we want to be fair and we want to be just, we can't allow the hatred and animosity of others to cause us to swerve.
Right.
You see, there's Imam Sayyid at the very beginning. He started off with the Quran, what God says. And whenever you stand on God's word, you're always gonna have the right stance. You're gonna have the right posture, the right position, the right disposition that it is. So yes, you know, we have to stand for truth, even if it's against ourselves. You see, that gives us the courage to stand up for what is right all the time. And so, no, we have grown up. I was in the Nation of Islam, 1967. And Abu Elijah Muhammad referred to us as a baby nation, but this baby nation has grown up. Now we are men and we are women.
Yes.
You understand? Standing on truth. I could say more. Y'all got me fired up already. And I'm not even an imam. I'm just a host, a talk show host or what? But y'all got me fired up and all. But I'm enjoying this. One of my favorite productions here. Words make people. And I think that this conversation is true to the name of the show, Words Make People. Let's not let any words, you understand, and other people define them for us. Let's do as our beloved leader and teacher, when you say in definition is direction.
Right.
But let's let other people define the word and then misdirect us. I'll stop there.
Sir.
I love you. Your brothers continue the great work that you're doing. And may Allah continue to bless and increase all of us in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of His word, His will, His way, so that we can perform the work that will be pleasing to Allah and His cause. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Wa alaykum
as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam. For the analysis, your follow-up?
Oh, yes. You know, what's happened, like he said, we were the baby nation. Well, really, it's kind of like a fetus. You know, the fetus is in its mother, and it's totally covered up, right? We can't see it. And it's tied by an umbilical cord. Well, that's the same way with us as a people. We were totally enveloped in this country. But that time has come now to cut that umbilical cord. And these people, they're acting like they are addicted. You know, some people have an addicted to cocaine and heroin, right? But these people are addicted to having a second-class citizenship. And most people don't understand. You know, there are some people that have a need to be looked up to. They have a need to think that they're superior to somebody else or some other group. And so they're having withdrawal pains. How dare you grow up and not need me and not do seven vows? I tell you what I wanted to go down to. Six demands on the list that they had given for Kyrie to show
let your listeners hear to the foolishness that they had required this young man to do after he apologized and after he gave the $500,000, whether he paid it or not. You know what I'm saying? But the listeners should have heard the demands that was made on him, and then you would see really what this cry and rejection is about. You know, you got to take, telling you, you got to take sensitivity training. I'm telling you this, right? The big boy telling you little boys this. Then the second thing, you got to go and sit among rabbis, Jewish rabbis. Now, you're not a Jew, but you got to go and get the permission from a rabbi to go back to play. See, it went too far. You know, that's like you have to go to the Pope now, and the Pope has to bless you and give you permission to go back. No, what does it have to do with anything? That's humiliation. That's what the reaction is from our people. You know, it's excessive. The punishment doesn't suit the crime. And again, what is it? How dare you African Americans be a man without my blessing? It has to be told.
Yeah, that's fair, right? Yeah. Now, but isn't that what Pharaoh told Moses and the Egyptians, that you're going to bow to Moses, God, and I didn't give you permission?
I didn't give you permission. That's the point we're making. See, most people read scripture, and they don't know how to interpret it in present times. It wasn't Pharaoh a physical body. It was Pharaoh a mentality of oppressors that they use in the oppressor playbook. That they hand from country to country. This is how you control your masses, with the Pharaoh principle, not Pharaoh person. You see? Yeah. And he said, how dare you worship a God and I didn't give you permission to do so? And I'm speaking like you, email right here. I'm speaking to good Christians and good Jews. You know that statement is in your scriptures. So you should apply it this time now. And again, don't see as one individual's character. See the whole of his people. You see, and it'll be easier for you to take because you know if you're a white Christian or a white Jew, you would not go through a situation like this without an outbreak. You know, God would raise for you another Moses. Yeah.
That's
so it's just that important.
That's right.
Yeah. And I think that brother from Indianapolis.
Go ahead.
We've talked about his grandson, you know, and that's the most valuable thing. You are a man. And you got to protect your mother. You got to protect your wife. And you got to protect your children. You see, that's a man. The woman is like a rose, the beautiful rose. It could be a red rose, a yellow rose, a white rose. There's this beautiful fragrance. That's women, right? But you never will see a natural rose without thorns around it. And the thorns around the rose is the role of the man to protect that woman. God put that in nature.
That's right.
And the most beautiful thing is not the female lion. The most beautiful thing is the male lion. He wears the fur. You know what I'm saying?
He's the one
that's attracted so that the woman, the female lion, will not be attacked. He will be attacked because that's his role to protect her. You know, I'm just saying these things because we lost the common sense. Yeah, we got to be brought back to self.
That's right. All right. Brother Man, we're at the top of the hour. Yeah, I think we have reached the point of conclusion for today. But before we go, I'm going to read that verse one more time from the Quran. Anything you want to say on it? Because this is a very important verse. And it says, oh, you who believe. So it's not just the Muslims. But we say, oh, you who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves, or your parents, or your kinfolks, and whether it be against rich or poor, for Allah, God, can best protect both. Follow not the lust of your hearts, lest you swerve. And if you distort justice or decline to do justice, verily Allah is well acquainted all that you do. Sadaqallahu al-Azim.
Sadaqallahu al-Azim.
You have any reflections?
No, I,
No, sir. Not behind that. No, no, no.
I mean. You say Kalas. Kalas.
Yeah.
Yes. Kalas. Yeah.
Finish.
Allah has spoken the night's truth. Well, thank you, Brother Imam Nasser Ahmed, for your wonderful, as always, your wonderful contribution. We appreciate it. But you know what? We appreciate you even more.
Allahu Akbar. We thank Allah for the strength of your character, for the shoulder. I mean, you take on some Herculean topics. Your average person just would avoid it. You know what I mean? You can't avoid these matters.
Well, you know what?
You got to go there.
You know, like my brother Todd Dean, you said, you touch your sons. It's like, look, if we, this is a general application, and mainly the brothers. The brothers are supposed to be, they have been called the Kawamuna, right?
Right.
The maintainers and protectors. If we can't stand up now, after all the prices that people have paid, we are not worth the time of day. We are not worth our salt. I'm sorry.
That's right.
We're not rough. We're not tough. We're not all that. We just believers in God.
Yeah.
And we get to do what Allah tells us to do. And we don't want to show up on Judgment Day. We don't want to show up on Judgment Day, and we didn't put it all on the playing field, brothers and sisters, mainly brothers.
Yeah.
You know, I told the believers here, it's kind of like the fourth quarter of the game. You're down to the last 2 minutes, and the score is tied. Everybody's tired on both benches, right? And the coach look at the players, they're looking at him for a play. You know what he tell them? He said, teammates, I have no play. I have no, we're not going to run play one, play two. I just want you to do one thing. Go out there on that court and don't bring nothing back. Leave it all out there.
On the field.
If you got to call back to the bench. but don't, this is what we, as a people, who have been through the worst conditions of anybody in recorded history, and anybody, and we still suffer from it. And I get a radio platform, you get a platform, and you don't have the courage to speak for what's right, I'm trying to keep saying a cuss word, but you ain't worth nothing. You ain't worth it. And it's just that simple. You say, well, what are you afraid of? I only fear Allah.
Yeah.
I only fear Allah.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about this, this is going to be a healing for all the people because everybody has a conscience. Now, maybe I'm not man enough to address my conscience, but something inside is telling me this ain't right. You see what I mean? And I guarantee you, going into the future, most people, even against Kyrie, over time, they may not verbalize it, but in their soul is telling them this is right, you know?
Brother Imam.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad Ali is the perfect example. Muhammad Ali, they hated that man's guts. I mean, they terribly, Dr. King, they hated that man's guts.
You
never got these pretty pictures of Muhammad Ali and Dr. King. But when they were doing their thing, people, they hated Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I know.
They hated that man's
guts.
But in time. Yeah, it's coming. But we got to do our part. And not be
right
quiet and be over there all soft. We got to do our part.
That's the good thing. Yeah. Exposure. And it's going to make the people better. Even the ones that's against.
Yeah.
In time, they may not ever say it out loud, but they'll be a better people and they'll never do that again.
Yes,
the next incident like this, they won't take the wrong path. Yeah.
So
thank you so very much. And may Almighty God bless you and your listeners, all of them.
I mean.
Yeah.
Well, normally I close up with my song. Normally, you're welcome. Thank you. And normally I close up with my song, but I'm going to play that interview one last time with Kyrie. And it's got a lot of background noise, but we need to listen to what he's saying.
Right.
And now, excuse the background noise, but listen to what he's saying. He wasn't backing down. But he took ownership, but he was going to be no boy in the process.
Right. Allahu Akbar.
All right.
God is the greater.
I agree. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Hindsight, are you sorry for the hurt that your post caused people?
I take my responsibility for posting that. Some things that were questionable in there, untrue. Like I said, in the first time you guys asked me when I was sitting on that stage, I don't believe everything that everybody posts. It's a documentary. So I take my responsibility.
It seems like Adam Silver wanted to hear the word, I apologize, or in your mind, you said I didn't mean to cause any harm. Were you apologizing or not apologizing?
I didn't mean to cause any harm. I'm not the one that made the documentary.
What are the specific things in the documentary that you don't believe are true and that you don't believe represent your
own? I think some of the criticism of the Jewish faith in the community, for sure. Some points made in there that were unfortunate.
Tyree, are you surprised that you did hurt people?
Surprised that I did hurt people?
Are you surprised that reaction and some of the things that you did hurt people?
Yeah, I think I can ask a better question. It's just, where were you when I was a kid figuring out that 300 million of my ancestors are buried in America? Where were you guys asking those same questions when I was a kid dealing with learning about the traumatic events of my familial history and what I'm proud to come from and why I'm proud to stand here and why when I repeat myself that I'm not going to stand down, it has nothing to do with dismissing any other race or group of people. I'm just proud of my heritage and what we've been through. And the fact that this has pinned me against the Jewish community and I'm here answering questions of whether or not I'm sorry or not on something I didn't create, and it was something I shared, and I'm telling everybody I'm taking responsibility, then that's where I sit. So, you know, these same questions that you guys ask, me dealing with it as being a melanated, pigmented person all around the world and dealing with racial biases against my skin color, demeaning me because of my religious beliefs, and I'm still sitting in the seat standing. So I take my full responsibility, again, I'll repeat it, for posting something on my Instagram or Twitter that may have had some unfortunate falsehoods in it. But I also am a human being that's 30 years old, and I've been growing up in a country that's told me that I wasn't worth anything, and I came from a slave class, and I come from a people that are meant to be treated the way we get treated every day. So I'm not here to compare anyone's atrocities or tragic events that their families have dealt with generations of time. I'm just here to continue to expose things that our world continues to put in darkness. I'm a light. I'm a beacon of light. That's what I'm here to do. You guys ask me questions about basketball, I give you my expert opinion. You guys ask me about other things, I give you my opinion, and it's met with whatever you believe the perception or the deception is. You guys investigate my life every day, and you justify it by serving your own purpose, which I honor. I would like the same respect in return, figuring out just like anyone else. So please keep that same energy when we're talking about anti-other things, because just because I posted a documentary doesn't mean I'm anti-Semitic, and doesn't mean I'm automatically standing with everyone that is believing in that. So it's unfortunate timing that we're in, but I'm glad that I could stand on the truth, because I'm not afraid of these mics, these cameras. I used to be looking everyone in the eye and telling them the truth, that I'm proud of who I am. Any label that you put on me, I'm able to dismiss because I study. I know the Oxford Dictionary. You can look it up, right? Just one of the biggest mistakes I had in being a kid was not knowing European or Western language until I started looking it up and understanding the definitions and why they say, if you want to trick a black person, put it in the book. I was wondering my whole life why they said that. Now I'm 30 years old and I know reading is a superpower. It helps me understand where I'm going and where I come from. It's like a tree with roots.
Kyrie, the documentary listed among falsehoods. It said the Holocaust didn't happen. Did you
Again,
believe the Holocaust
those falsehoods
happened?
Are unfortunate. And it's not that I don't believe in the Holocaust. I never said that. Never ever have said it. It's not come out of my mouth. I never tweeted it. I never liked anything like it. So the Holocaust in itself is an event that means something to a large group of people that suffered something that could have been avoided. No one said we had to practice racism. No one said we had to treat each other like garbage. No one said that I had to stand here today and understand that many people that come from generations 60 years ago, 40 years ago, enslaved some of my ancestors, still spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, and it's still going on. And you guys are asking me, respectfully, to speak on something that was a documentary that I had nothing to do with. I didn't make it. So just please keep that same energy when you guys are addressing me.
Kyrie, for the record, do you have any anti-Semitic beliefs?
Again, I'm going to repeat. I don't know how the label becomes justified because you guys ask me the same questions over and over again. But this is not going to turn into a spin-around cycle of questions upon questions. I told you guys how I felt. I respect all walks of life and embrace all walks of life. That's where I sit.
I think what people want to hear, though, is just a yes or no on that question. Yes or no.
I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from. I cannot be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from.
Kyrie, did you personally meet with the ADL?
I was informed that they wanted to have a meeting, and we handled it.
Thanks for watching ESPN on YouTube for live streaming sports and premium content.
Trying to do things their own way, but everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step or give advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, word can buy. From ideas deep in your mind, it's words that make people and people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind. If your words are good, then good you'll be. Cause those kind of words that set you free. When thinking starts, words come back. From ideas deep in your mind, you need words to make people. And people to make the world go round. Words that make people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free.
Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words.